Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at www.audibletrial.com/FTSW. Over 100,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player.
Well, hello!
Hello, Zuko here. But I guess you probably already know me.
You guys here for a rematch?
Negatory!
I think it's time I joined your group and taught the Avatar firebending.
Zuko, yes! Why would I be expecting anyone different?
Greetings, my good Hotman.
We've been through so many things together.
Baby, you're my forever girl.
It'll be okay. It's not forever.
That's what I'd say, too.
Hotman? Hotman? Hotman?
My first girlfriend turned into the moon. That's rough, buddy.
Hotman? Hotman?
I got a pretty good look at you.
Let them rot.
I'll take that as a thank you.
Stay flaming, Hotman.
Stop calling me that.
Trying to watch.
Hello and welcome to From the Spirit World, a legendary Avatar The Last Airbender and The Legend of Korra podcast for DongWuFang.net. I am your main host, Dylan, and today I'm joined by Sam.
Oh, I'm first. Yeah, yay.
That was on purpose. Mel.
Hi.
Britt.
Hi.
Teresa.
Hello.
Ben.
Hello.
And Jeff.
Hello.
This is our 100th podcast. Woo! Yeah.
100.1.
Yeah, we tried, as we will talk about later, we tried recording this before, and it's still...
Failure.
The thing didn't go well. But, yeah, so we'll go over that. But do know that we recorded a 100th podcast. This is our second go-around. We're just going to take this podcast to mostly talk about recent Korra news, because there's, been a lot of small stuff that's been released since the book two footage, which we went over last podcast. So we're going to go over all the small stuff and culminating in this Power of Fandom panel Jeff attended. And he'll give us a report from that, and we'll discuss the stuff Mike said there. But yeah, I guess, and then we'll, after that, if it doesn't go on too long, I'll maybe actually answer some mailbag questions for the first time, ever. And then we'll do a Avatar trivia, which doesn't make sense now. In the original 100th recording, we did podcast trivia to celebrate the 100th podcast, and I'm not going to give spoilers on who won because I'm going to try to release it at some point.
How is that? Oh,
yeah, I'm going to actually try to release the after heavy editing, but yeah, so I'm just gonna do verbal trivia with the co-hosts. We'll see how it goes when it's not actually podcast related. But yeah, okay. Getting straight into. What is with the stuff in the chat?
Oh, you need to read it. You need to read it.
I understand. And it was expected, I guess. In Korra news, we're going to start going from the bottom of DF up. I'm reading for the main page. But we're going to go over the stuff that happened most recent to the not most recent stuff. That was the worst way to phrase it. But I was
reverse chronological order.
Reverse chronological order. Korra, as we mentioned on the last podcast, there's going to be a Korra CD, and they just didn't feel like telling us. Well, now they've told us, and it is coming out on July 16th, and they've put out a track, Republic City Under Attack, and then a preview of another track, and they're awesome.
Yes.
And that album, it looks like it's going to be awesome, and it's going to be out in a few weeks. Yeah, and you can pre-order on Amazon, I think Best Buy and other places. It's not up digitally for pre-order yet. I assume it will be. And yes, Mel, those were those.
Okay. Well, yes.
Oh, and a member of the track team, I forgot who it was, they were on Twitter and they were basically, if this sells well, an Avatar The Last Airbender soundtrack is very likely.
Yeah, well, I don't
know. Awesome.
Oh, bye.
I wouldn't say very likely to try to get people's hopes up. But yeah, the general point, though, is that this is maybe one of the first soundtracks Nick has put out, maybe the first, I think. And so if it's proven to them that these can sell well, then we can get out with our stuff, which has been the goal of the fandom since for 7 years now.
I have friends who watch the show not like us, normal human beings. And he even texted me, he was like, oh my god, they're releasing the Korra soundtrack. So I mean, it is a thing, a lot of people are just really interested in music from
That's a good point, though. Get your casual fan friends to buy the soundtrack. That would certainly help. Next thing is the daytime Emmy results. Surprise! I bet you didn't.
And the winner is.
I bet you didn't even know for it was nominated for daytime Emmys.
Did anyone?
Yeah, I see what you did there. Yes, it's an episode title. That's not terribly. It's not too much. Cora won the Emmy for casting in an animated series, lost for directing in an animated series, and lost special class animated series. And the latter of those was announced on television. Actually, the daytime Emmys are televised. I know, right? And they specifically put that award on, I think, because they got Carrie Fisher to present, and George Lucas attended. And so it's like, who's going to win, Clone Wars or Korra? And then Clone Wars won. So that may or may not have been rigged, but...
Well, in all fairness, Clone Wars is a pretty good show.
It's great, so. Yeah. And,
yeah, it's
and it's, I think it's ending.
You have to do a lot to get Carrie Fisher to work
on Avatar.
Yeah, it's as Dave
it's Filoni. Kind of ending because they're gonna do like some online stuff, but yeah.
It ended once with the Disney sale, and they'll definitely do another Star Wars animated something. But
well,
Disney Channel now.
Well, they're gonna do some like specials to wrap up some of the plot lines, but as far as a new season, that won't happen.
Okay.
For all you Clone Wars fans out there, that's what they're doing.
Yes. It must be nice to have your loose ends from a show wrapped up so nicely.
Yeah.
Boy, what could you be referring to?
I don't know.
let's do the panel last. So to get through the quick stuff, the Korra Comic-Con panel, I shouldn't have emphasized Korra, I should have emphasized Comic-Con. The Korra Comic-Con panel is going to be held on Friday, July 19th from... 11 to noon Pacific time. They're in the same room as they were last year, which is like the second biggest to like Hall H or something. And which is, so it's a big, they're getting a big deal room and it's great. And I will certainly be, none of us I don't think are attending, but I'll be live blogging it like I did last year. I just rapidly posted things on Tumblr from a bunch of sources that were live blogging it. And that was like the best compilation thing you could find, and we got like a ton of followers from that, and it was great.
But I'm really curious about what is going to go on right before that panel, because last year there was the Firefly thing, and that totally Firefly
after,
was right after.
It was after, so, yeah. So and that took up most of the people.
So a lot of people would just like stay in there to wait for the Firefly panel.
And, I did that once, and they got mad at me.
Didn't get that.
Okay, I want to, like, you know how you sit in the panel first and then just wait for the next panel?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did that once and they totally tried to kick me out.
I guess they should.
Yeah.
No, I was being smart. Yeah. Self-preservation.
We assume there will be a date announced for book two at the Comic-Con panel. Maybe. I'm somewhat skeptical they'll give us an exact date because we'll talk about that reason in a minute. Also announced, Hollywood Reporter, I think I'll read this directly because I just copy and paste this every time I post it because I don't know how to summarize it. Ahead of Comic-Con, Nick will make available an interactive book, The Legend of Korra Enhanced Experience, in the iBook store beginning July 2nd. Concept art, an in-depth look at the characters, animatic storyboards, and more will be featured. So some kind of ebook will be released pretty soon, actually. And I guess you can... I don't know if it's buy or free, but it'll be in the iBook store, I guess, is an Apple thing. No idea if that'll be good or not. And then most recently, Brian made a post on Tumblr featuring the Katang babies. And,
babies!
Yes. And they are there looking surprised at the screen. And I've linked to this from the Tumblr, from DF. Can find the image various
They're
places.
All virtually making the same exact face.
Yeah, basically.
Related.
Yeah.
Genetic.
And it's so in the text of the post he says that this is take one quote unquote take one footage that just came back for an episode of Book Two, and I think that's relevant because we thought that they had gotten all the animation back for Book Two already, and apparently they haven't. This means they still have to go through, if I'm reading this correctly, take one presumably is that they just got it back. This is the first communication from the Korean studio they've gotten for this specific episode, which means they have to go through all of post-production for it, which means I don't think this will be in the next maybe like two-ish, three-ish months. because that's a lot. And like this is presumably like episode 10 or something, somewhere around there. So they could finish it up while they're airing the earlier episodes, but I'm starting to think maybe something like November for book two.
Well, now, did he say that they just got that shot, or did he not make any reference to when?
Yeah, he said, like, this was, like, yesterday or something.
Well.
Yeah.
I have his log up right now. It says, yesterday was an especially good one.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
It was yesterday.
So this is recent, yeah. Which is unfortunate. I mean, honestly, if we get it anytime this year, just be happy with that.
They did say it was going to be this year, right?
They did say this year.
It could be, but you know, lying. December 30th at, you know, 11:50 p.m. Yeah. Doesn't count.
Well, the problem is they're going to be juggling Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Korra, and Power Rangers Megaforce.
Obviously, Korra is the most important thing in the universe.
I don't think TMNT is airing in Korra's time slot currently.
Sanjay and Craig.
It took Korra's time slot.
Yeah, I think it may have moved to Friday night.
Friday.
Fair yeah.
So
yes,
wait, we should move to Friday night. TMNT or Korra?
TMNT. Korra, we don't know.
Oh, darn it.
Someone's got crickets near them.
Yeah,
that's probably me. I can close my window.
Don't worry about it. I would love
to start airing more Megaforce episodes.
They can air multiple shows, but Nick,
I know they can.
Nick has trouble focusing. It's true, though.
Okay.
I don't know what that was. A few days ago, Jeff attended the Power of Fandom panel in Los Angeles, featuring Mike along with Marie Lou, Lee Bardugo, and a writer from The Walking Dead, Seth something.
Yay.
And Jeff, I guess, tell us about this. You don't go into as much detail as you want, I guess, and tell us about the experience and how Mike was.
Okay. I read on Dongle Things Tumblr about this event thing, and at first I was like, oh, that'd be nice to go to. And then, you know, stewed on it for a couple of days and thought, you know what, I'm never going to, or not in a while am I going to be in this part of the world at this certain time, so that I'll just go. I'm in California now. So it was like a 5-hour drive away. So yeah, got a half day off, started out at 11:30 a.m. and drove like mad all the way down to LA. Got there at 4:30, well ahead of the panel, which was at 7. So then I just bought a book, hunkered down, and the book that I got to sign was the hardcover version of The Promise, all 3 parts, which I actually haven't read yet. So
I didn't even know that existed.
I didn't know that existed.
Neither did I. Yeah.
Yeah, I misidentified that on Tumblr as the art book. Yeah. Okay, that was the hardcover of all 3 parts of The Promise. That's good. I guess that's good.
They also had like individual parts of The Promise, and someone found like the search part 1 or something just in soft cover, but I didn't find that. They also had the art book, which I already had one, so I didn't want to buy another one just to get it signed.
Yeah.
Which I would rather have gotten that to get signed, but I already had
one. Barnes & Noble isn't that cool.
So, yeah.
Wait, Sam, we probably have the same Barnes & Noble. Which one do you
go? No, I'm talking about the one Jeff, Center City Reading House.
Anyways. And by the way, yeah, this was basically like in Hollywood. I'm pretty sure it's Hollywood was the area. It's called The Grove, is the shopping center. And very, very big town. I've never been there before. Lots of movie posters and like a 3-story Barnes & Noble. It's the biggest I've ever been to. So they had their little event thing set aside on the 3rd floor. They had 50 seats out, not a lot. They actually said they had a shortage of chairs at the moment, so whatever. So they let us in finally, and I got to sit down in the first row. It's kind of nice, kind of cool. Set aside some seats for bloggers on the front row, which they filled. And then, yeah, I was fiddling with my phone because I couldn't get the shutter sound to turn off, which is annoying. I didn't want to make any noises when I was recording, but so I just put it in my shirt pocket and hit record right when people were clapping when they came in, so it didn't make much noise. Then, they came in at 7:10. And Mike was, you know, I had never seen him up close, obviously, so it was the first time. He's pretty laid back. just, yeah. I don't know how to really describe it. Just go watch the video. You'll see what I mean. The panel is moderated by Kurt Matilla, and he did a pretty cool job. Just bounced a lot of questions over the panel members, mostly about, as we've said, it's called The Power of Fandom, so it was about how they interact with their fan members. You know, like what's the craziest thing they've seen, what, you know, tattoos, whatever. If they themselves had ever, you know, been a part of a fandom for anything else. What TV shows they'd resurrect. I liked Leia's answer, Battlestar Galactica. I would definitely agree with that. So, yeah. They asked for questions, so got to ask mine, which was, what's the part of the show that you least expected would make into the final product, and they answered with Asami being good. They originally thought that she'd be evil. Then they had about a half an hour of questions, and then a big book signing. During the signing, I got to ask Mike one more question about Mako, and that was whether he expected the negativity towards Mako's character, and he did not. He was genuinely surprised by that.
Shocker.
I can't believe it.
So then I was very tired by the end of that, got some Mountain Dew, and drove all the way back. Got back at 3 a.m.
Awesome.
That's the story.
Awesome. Yay.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, thank you for going and recording this. And you can find the video. I linked to it from Tumblr, from DF main page.
Not hard to find.
No. Yes, no. And actually, I embedded it on DF, so you can just watch it straight from there. And yeah, let's talk about the you know, new things like that we learned from this.
Yeah, so let's go through the bullet points. Yeah. We had that post. Yeah. So yeah, Asami originally tended to be evil.
Yeah, I don't. Mike said he says in the video he may have said this already. I don't remember them saying that.
Neither do I.
Yeah, so I think that is new information. I guess the question with that is, did they start right? No, if you watch it in more detail, it says that this is when they're planning the character. So I assume all of the when they started actually writing, that they knew that she wouldn't be evil. I assume so.
It sounded as though he said that they reworked the story. Like he says, I think like they tweaked the story to make her good, which makes me wonder like how much of the story, you know, would stay the same with her being evil, and you know whether Mako's arc would fit better.
Yeah, the Mako stuff would have made more sense if she turned evil. It still probably wouldn't have been great, but
yeah, but you wouldn't have hated him so much. We wouldn't have been like, oh well, she's evil, so we don't want him to be with the evil girl.
Yeah, even if she's evil, you should still break up. But yeah, it would have made slightly more sense. We don't know that for sure, though.
Could have been handled better. We'll just
absolutely. Well, yeah, that's the main point we'll talk about. He says the exact wording he says about Toph's husband is a little strange, but I don't know. See, you say in the post that he doesn't know. I'm not 100% sure he says that.
You're right. That was me paraphrasing.
Yeah, I think that was his intention, but I don't think he explicitly says it because he says something like maybe we'll release it like 6 years in a comment.
Yeah. In a joking way.
Say anything about it.
Yeah.
Which means it's probably not Sokka.
Well,
but he's not denying it either. So
yeah. Unless it's like
personally,
serious...
Lynn just might like she might have like came out of Toph's forehead like Athena style, you know,
just cracked open
or out of his leg, Aphrodite style.
I like that. Yeah.
Yep. Like I mean, from listening to it again, it just seems like he just doesn't care. You know,
he doesn't think it's important, which I think is a valid.
Yeah. He might have an idea in his head of who he'd like it to be, but he's like, I don't really care. So, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Can we not treat the Ursa thing, though, with the same nonchalantness? Because that bugged me way back in the day. I know, now we're finding out, but I'm just saying, way back in the day when they were like, oh, where is my mother? And then that was it. And they're like, oh, we don't really think it's that really... And then they're like, we didn't really think it was that big of a deal. It's a very
I don't think we sort of get a bit of that.
We know you don't care at all about anything that has to do with Zuko. It's fine.
Well, that's true. I mean, you know, they built up Ursa so much in the series with like her being an important part of not only the backstory, but a part of who Zuko was, and about Azula's wanting her approval. But, you know, there hasn't been any kind of focus on who's the baby daddy.
Yeah, that's it's not important for, in a, from a story perspective, and also it doesn't define Lynn or define Toph. Like yeah. I think it's a good feminist message to send. Like, it doesn't really matter.
Plus, Mike sort of he expressed that he has an appreciation for unanswered questions. Like, he's not the guy that, you know, you need everything to be tied up neatly. Like,
the Ursa question, though, is not something we should leave unanswered.
Okay, well, that's not the focus of this.
Well, unanswered questions are kind of fun for the fandom because they get to make up their own, like, what-ifs.
I'm glad you said that because I totally thought you were going to go into a metaphor like, unanswered questions are like a box of... That sounded like where it was going, but I'm glad that it didn't.
Caramel.
It's like a box of snakes. You pull one out, you don't know what you're going to get.
Garden snake, or are you going to pull out a cobra?
And next, like, and the bullet list. Yeah. Is he talks about someone asked him, apparently a 5-year-old girl, about Amon bloodbending.
Wow.
And
her question was like, if he's a bloodbender, how can he take away someone's bending?
Magic. No.
She's asking the real question.
Which is a very good question.
Yeah, she's asking the good stuff.
Because they don't even know because of
that. And he responds with the...
Yeah, he says that he sort of thought of Amon as being like this, you know, super powerful waterbender who could bend someone else's energy or chi to block it.
Energy bending.
But that's not.
So chi blocking is basically like what it is.
So chi is water? That doesn't make any sense.
Undone by a 5-year-old.
Maybe he's just
pretty
like...
art, okay?
He's like Sparky Boom Man. He's like one of the special benders that Sokka was talking about.
Yeah, there's a precedent of bending not making any sense within their own rules. Like, I don't...
Like, how do you firebend with your mind? That muscle does not have
look,
a kind of...
if you want it bad enough and you wish upon a star...
They obviously don't feel a need to explain. I think it's...
Maybe it's sort of like metal bending, like this whole blood bending during the day thing. Maybe, like, you can raise an army of... Day bloodbenders, I don't know.
Day bloodbenders.
Like, this, however, unlike Sparky Boom Man, was of more plot significance than... this was like a big mystery.
It's kind of funny that it took a 5-year-old to ask that question, though. Like, what were we thinking? We just accepted it.
I would like to know their opinion.
I didn't accept it. This, like, drove me nuts. It still drives me nuts.
Well, yeah. It's because of science.
Yeah.
Personally, I'm fine with it. I mean,
in general, I think the big question to ask them would be what their stance on explaining things hastily and just taking big leaps of the plot in the finale, which they did in this, they did in the season 3 finale. They have a history of doing this.
You know, I want to know who gave Katara the authority to, like, outlaw bloodbending. Like, is she, like, the president of waterbending?
I assume we'll find this out, like...
It's probably a throwaway line, like, oh, let's add Katara into this. Oh, that fool Katara outlawed bloodbending.
Well, they
have a precedent to show Katara now in flashbacks.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah, I'm sure they'll explain. He got a question on whether we would see more flashbacks of the gang, and he was like, I can't. But he said Aang will be around, though. Yeah,
that was
his phrasing. Aang will be around. And then he says with the Mako stuff. Now let's talk about the Mako. So this isn't on video. So what is his like wording as specifically as you can remember, Joe?
Right. So they previously talked about how like whether they'd been surprised by fan expectations or something, and Mike had basically expressed like he was a bit standoffish from all that. I mean, he wasn't like super invested in Twitter or whatever. So But then I asked him, you know, like, did you see this coming, this this hatred for Mako? And he's like, yeah, that's actually something that really surprised me. I did not see that coming.
But did you say hatred for Mako with respect to Koran Asami? How'd you phrase it?
No, I said, okay, so let's see if I can remember. You may not know that the fandom kind of doesn't like Mako. And he just said, he just nodded understandingly, like, yeah, I know. And so you know, so he basically knew what was up and why people didn't like him.
Okay.
And so I was like, did you see that coming when you read it? He was like, yeah, actually, it totally said that one blew me off guard.
Okay. Yeah. So this is something we've been wondering for a while. Like, I've always, whenever we bring up Mako, we're like, I don't know if Mike and Brian intended it to be this way. And this doesn't explicitly say that they didn't intend it to be this way, but it kind of.
They
didn't realize how unsympathetic of a character.
Yeah, maybe they thought we'd be a little bit more forgiving.
Yeah.
No.
And I don't want to like berate them because we've done that before when talking about Mako. But I don't know what this either says. I think it's one of, this could say one of a few things. A, they don't think people will be that invested in these types of romantic plot lines or caring, they'll instantly care about the main characters or something. I mean, they only had likable main characters in Avatar, so maybe they think that they could just they'll expect them to be sympathetic no matter what. They thought he'd be forgiven more. They thought they'd made it more explicit, because maybe they had it in their mind that, you know, oh, of course Mako and Asami break up, and then when they actually write it, they aren't as explicit as is in their head. Or the most troubling one, they don't see a problem with Mako's actions, which is possible. But Mike and Brian, I don't know. Mike at the very least seems very into woman stuff, you know. I mean, this is a good time to talk about. I'm listening to Kurt Matilla's podcast right now, the Big Pole podcast. He mailed us asking if he could use some of Jeff's footage in a podcast or something, and was of course can. And so he was like, did you know we had Mike and Brian on a couple podcasts? And so I was like, no. So yeah, check that out, Big Pole podcast. The episodes 22 and 23 are Mike and Lee from the panel, and we'll get to Lee again. I'm trying to tie all this back during our Audible plug. And they're talking about woman stuff, and Mike seems very into it. And in terms of like female main characters, because Lee also has a female main character in the book. But it's like, this doesn't seem like something that Mike would do. He doesn't necessarily seem that invested, though. I don't know how to phrase it. Like, it's tough to see this happening, because I don't know. Is this the worst thing that's happened in Avatar/Korra? Like, in terms of things that we get most frustrated at, things that are...
I think the problem with Mako is we were expected to see things within his character that weren't evident explicitly. And I think that's a big problem with Korra, because you sit down and listen to Mike and Brian talk about the show and like the themes and things that they meant to happen and meant to be received, and they weren't. Like, especially with Korra and airbending, and like a bunch of things like that. So I think that's where Mako is. Like, he was supposed to have a lot of redeeming qualities, like with Bowen and his brother, that just weren't.
Yeah, I don't know similar the plot holes in this are. The plot holes are something that they think people maybe.
But I mean, his character being received this way is a plot hole. It's a misinterpretation of character.
Well, it's
character is plot.
Yeah, but so like the Korra airbending thing. That's just something they didn't feel like they needed to spend that much time on. They didn't.
But I meant like at the end with her, like that was part of her character growth, because she does it for Mako because she's not worried about herself.
But okay, like, so you're saying they're related. Okay.
Yeah, they're related because like hers was character. It wasn't just whoosh air. You know what I mean? It wasn't a physical.
It's
problem. She was
it's
having.
Almost a misidentification of ethics, though, with this, or it could be just a not feeling the need to make things explicit in a show, like maybe having more faith in an audience than they should give us. But it did obviously didn't translate. Like it did. We don't
faith in an audience. It's also making things, you know, too convoluted for like the average person to understand. And
it's a feedback loop.
Yeah.
we assume they're going to give us something. They assume we're going to take something. I mean, I guess the idea is that, you know, it is a children's show. Now, granted that, I mean, children might not look at it as the way we are, but the fact that, you know, they expect the audience to react a certain way, they're going to put out a certain product. And it just, it feeds back on itself, so. I mean, it's kind of like what Dylan, I guess, said when we were talking about something else, where he said, blames dumb audiences. But, I don't want to say what it was in reference to, because that is rated older than children's, and you get mad whenever I talk about something that...
Well, if you're talking about Game of Thrones, we can bring up
Game of Thrones. Well, it was about Game of Thrones, and you were like, blame dumb audiences.
On Tumblr, Mike and Brian, you're constantly referencing Game of Thrones now. So, like, I feel like we can bring it up.
Okay, so if you're talking about Game of Thrones, children Game of Thrones,
it's not appropriate. So, yeah, there you go. Oh, yeah, in reference to things that aren't appropriate for children, the Big Pull podcast is... has cursing and stuff, and even though 90% of probably more of that of our audience does not care about that, I still try to limit it, which I need resistance with from you people. But yeah, and anyway, I feel like I rambled about the Mako stuff, and maybe we didn't express it that well. But I don't know. It's just a troubling thing with a character clearly not being sympathetic and. Intending to be maybe a sympathetic character.
I have a theory. It might be a horrible one, but just I wonder what you guys think. Could it be that they just like messed up in writing a teenage character, like an older teenage character? Because Avatar had, you know, younger characters, and since they're older, stuff, so they're like teenage
Do
problems.
They know well, how they did. Teenagers work.
They did see the one thing that they were going for was, you know, the idea of a teenage love triangle.
Yeah, which so.
They have Zuko, they have Mei, they have Ty Lee. Those people are older.
But I mean, this is like older. An explicit trio of kids dealing with teenage problems. I mean, with Zuko and Mei, and yeah, they had that relationship stuff, but it was mostly save the world or Fire Nation or war and that sort of thing. This is like a lot more explicitly, oh, let's go on a date or oh.
Do they know how love works?
So yeah, no, I guess
Mike is married, so yes.
I guess maybe that
Mike
is, I don't think Mike is married now. What, you're to get on Mike for not being married? Okay. I think that is probably a valid point that it's possible that they felt like they needed to make it, I don't know, for lack of a better term, more edgy because it's older teenagers and they need to have them doing different things than like the innocent stuff that the gang did.
Like, maybe that's being total jerks to each other.
Yeah. They misidentified whether a character would be sympathetic. The big troubling point is that there are kids watching this who are maybe thinking that this is how Mako, a person, should behave.
Well, and yeah, because he gets the girl in the end, so obviously.
It's a terrible, like, and that's, like, a valid thing to have happen in a show. Like, you can have a bad guy, like, I don't know, like, succeed or something. But it's sending a terrible message. It's, like, completely anti-feminist in a show that has a female main character. And it completely undermines any feminist messages you get from the show. It's very frustrating. And hopefully we'll be remedied with this.
I think we should bring back Hal.
Yes. That would be a good idea.
Howl. Yeah.
Maybe he'll be back. She's back in the South Pole.
Yeah.
Maybe they'll actually give him a real name.
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure they did not see fan reactions when making book two. So I don't. Maybe they'll randomly bring back that random guard, but they wouldn't do it because the fans.
Or maybe
they bring back that face. You know what face I'm talking about?
Okay. Yeah. So good discussion on that. So at the panel, plug time, at the panel were, Lee Bardugo and Marie Lu, who writes, young adult novels I've plugged before for Audible. And, you can get a free audiobook download at, audibletrial.com/FTSW. And, I last week actually recommended, Shadow and Bone, or the, new one is Siege and Storm by Lee Bardugo. And now I've learned since that she and Mike seem to be good friends, or at least have a mutual connection through Kurt Matilla. And I'm listening to the Big Pull right now, and she's awesome on it, and they're just discussing random stuff. And it is brought up, it is definitely brought up how much her book is similar to Bending. I finished reading Siege and Storm this week, the sequel to Shadow and Bone. It was very good. And I definitely recommend checking that. I feel like I've said it before. I feel like the audiences overlap between that. And also Marie Lu, before we've gotten an interview with her randomly where she brought up Legend of Korra as something that she likes. So she's a fan of Korra as well. That's awesome. She writes Legend. I have not read the sequel to Legend yet.
I don't know what that is.
I bought a Legend of Korra t-shirt at Hot Topic, and the person who was running the cast register said it was a really good ship too. So there you go.
Good.
Endorsement from part-time workers.
Hooray. But yeah, so I'd recommend checking out those books. You can get free audiobook download, etc. at audibletrial.com/FDSW. Okay. Now that we've done that, we can... Okay, so let's talk about the previous time we recorded the 100th podcast very quickly. Okay, so the plan is to release this as a bonus podcast at some point randomly. What happened was the file got corrupted. I tried to get it fixed. It took a while. Ecamm call recorder, which I used to record this podcast, paid for it to get fixed through another company. We got it back, and the audio is there, but it's just not in order. So
for any technical people out there, what basically happened was the equivalent of losing the FAT table on a FAT32 partition. It's miraculous that we got any audio back at all, I think.
Yeah, the repair company is very good, but it's not at a point where it's, I don't think it's listenable, and it's just going to take me, it's probably going to take me several hours to edit it. So I'll try to do that and post the remnants and, you know, whatever. So what we did on it was where we discussed our podcast stories. We had all seven co-hosts on. Allie was actually on that. Although...
I don't want to talk about her.
Now we have all six on.
Just bleep her name out. Like, and Brie was on that podcast.
I would be worried that she'd be offended, but she's not going
to
listen.
I don't care if she's offended.
She's not going to listen. But so yeah, we talked about stuff. We had trivia about the podcast, and yeah, so you can hopefully listen to all this later. I don't know. Yeah. But I guess thanks DCAM for paying for this. They stepped up to the plate. I full disclosure, Skype did just crash for me and I lost the recording again. I have no recording backup though. So this is a reoccurring problem, and I'm gonna write to them again and see, hopefully get this fixed. Because usually their program is very good. So yeah, hope to have that up. And this is last, which is we did podcast trivia, which is why we're going to try to do Avatar trivia here, you know, just because. But first, I want to read some mailbag questions. We don't
my god,
we don't have many of them.
Did you update the mailbag yet, Dylan?
I've been asking you this since like 2008.
That would make more sense if the last podcast got recorded, but. How to contact us. I want to have more fan interaction. I don't think emails are the way to go because I have problems with reading emails on podcasts because it's boring, as you'll see when I read these emails. But that's more from
a way to start off.
That's more from it's more from a podcast hosting
live podcast. There you go.
I'd recommend making a Twitter and following us on Twitter and then Tumblr tweeting us stuff there or messaging us on Tumblr. That'd also be very good. And
see us on Facebook.
No.
Maybe it should be.
Kind of do, but I don't think Facebook's very.
There's secret relevant. Stuff.
Groups. It's secret groups. Yeah, we had that one secret Facebook group. I think
yeah,
that's
I'm
still
saying.
Yeah,
that's what I'm talking about.
Anyway, so yeah, I got this email today from Courtney who said, "Hi, Dongwufeng Podcast. I was wondering if you think there is an age where it is not right for you to watch a cartoon like Avatar. I am 15 and none of my friends like Avatar.
You're 15?
And say it's for kids and I shouldn't watch it. Also, my family see it as stupid that I still watch it. So do you think age matters when it comes to cartoons like Avatar?" So, Courtney,
I say, pshaw.
If I even began thinking about that question, I think I'd feel very bad about myself.
Yeah. Teresa is actually in high school, but all of the rest of us are in college or graduated from college. So.
Clearly not.
So yeah,
my niece told me the other day that I was weird. She's like 8. Told me the other day that I'm weird because I still like to watch cartoons.
But actually, there is the point is there is no age to stop watching anything that's like quote unquote children stuff. You can read young adult novels however late you want, which I still do. You can watch Nickelodeon however late you want.
That's all you recommend for Audible is young adult.
Well, it also coincides with our audience, which is good. But yeah, so really don't peer pressure bad.
Follow your passions.
Follow your passions. Yeah, do what you want. That's right.
Follow your dreams.
Don't worry. Be happy.
There you go. I knew it was going somewhere.
Be happy.
I got an email from Mark who said, "Hello, Dylan. I really like the podcast. I'd like to hear discussion on here how, okay, getting how Air Nomad babies were conceived in the past.
Oh.
I know the other three nations always had traditional families with husbands and wives raising their kids. Tenzin had adopted this traditional lifestyle with his wife Pema, but the Air Nomads of the past did things quite differently. All the male babies were taken away from the mothers as infants to be raised at the northern or southern air temples. Did any of them know who their mothers were? It also seems like their fathers weren't able to raise their sons. Gatsu is Aang's guardian, not his father. Were any of the Air Nomads allowed to know who their parents were? It is clear that the monks and nuns didn't marry one another. How was anyone ever?
Maybe.
All right, there's a couple ways this could go.
That's okay. I have an First idea. Of all, people, we need to keep this PG because this podcast.
No,
is
I have an idea.
Yes, Sam.
Okay, so you know the book The Giver.
Yes.
So basically, in that book,
they have birthers, right?
They have birth mothers, yes, who give birth, and you know the babies are given to like families, like they're assigned. I think. Might be like a mixture of that and like a mixture of like an orphanage sort of.
They're all raised collectively.
That's how something. I assume.
I don't know.
I think I assume too totally is that certain people didn't just.
Continue, Mel.
Oh, I didn't know if I was. Okay. I agree with Sam though. I figured it was just certain people who like maybe didn't take their vow of chastity or whatever and were like, that's their. That was.
Do they even have one?
Well, they probably do if they're monks. I mean, it wasn't brought up, obviously, because it was a...
Jeff, go ahead.
But, I mean, Aang had no, like, qualms about liking Katara. That was never, I'm a monk, I can't do that. That's
oh, I think advantage. That...
Jeff, go ahead.
I think... sorry, my audio lagged, so I thought someone else was still talking. I think that there... The Airbender philosophy of you know being free from earthly attachments just totally coincides with the supposed practice of you know taking a mother and father's baby and like you know raising it in a different air temple. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. So yeah. I think the first point with this should be that it's not addressed in the show and it's not ever supposed to be thought of. Like this, it's not phrased in a way where it's relevant, and that's on purpose. But yeah, I think that I agree with Jeff. The non-attachment thing makes sense. I think also it's possible they do just have birth mothers. But it's also possible that there's some area where no, I don't know. Yeah, it doesn't really make much sense because they clearly
they never broach the topic at all.
Buddhist monks have fans.
How what?
We should research how Buddhist monks.
Yeah, I guess
have
so.
Families.
Google. I mean, I don't think they do, but yeah.
Buddhist.
The sword comes monk. And brings them a baby.
There's no like chastity in Avatar, so it's never.
How would we know? We don't know.
We don't know, but they never say that, so it's not like monks can't do that, you know. Like, but yeah, it just never is talked about explicitly. Okay. Oh, long email. I should have actually went back and read these emails before. And
you're so prepared, Dylan.
I know. He says my point is at some point. So Michael says, from Brazil, which is awesome. I think he says he likes Sam in this email.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
I like that you like me.
Maybe not, but it's, everyone likes Sam. So, I don't know.
But
my point, she says, my point is, would you guys like to see an Avatar extended universe? If yes, what subjects could the extended universe touch upon? And how. I think Avatar is an untapped goldmine and things like books and audio dramas, especially since, unlike Doctor Who, an Avatar expanded universe wouldn't need to rely on famous producers, who could help to give us many new stories. And there's so many possibilities. Stories about past Avatars, about the origins of the world, stories taking place during the 100-year war, family stories being told through different point of view, stories taking place in different times between the end of the war and beginning of Korra. Where do you see it going with this? We touched on this a little bit when, not in the podcast, but in like Twitter and stuff, when Nick was like, big news coming out this weekend. And we're all like, OMG, could this be extended Avatar universe material? Delaney suggested there would be like books, like Star Wars books. We wondered if there would be, I don't remember, other stuff. Other stuff, yeah. Like audio dramas are a good example. I don't think there's too much precedent for that here. But yeah, I definitely, yes. And I don't think we necessarily need Mike and Brian supervising it. Like, I feel like...
Yeah, like, you know, the Star Wars books weren't all written by George Lucas, you know?
Yeah.
Star Wars books are basically just published fan fiction, so yeah. I would be excited about an extended Avatar universe.
I want, like, an RPG video game.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, can we get a bending game for Kinect? I know it's not related, but how has that not happened yet?
Why isn't Avatar Kinect the new Star Wars?
Kinect 2 is going to be awesome.
Wow. I have no idea.
Sam's
Everyone loves
the
it.
Real questions, and y'all are just asking about Kinect. And
I mean, you know, Star Wars, you know, is good, but, like, we need a new Star Wars.
And you think this could be the new Star Wars?
It should be.
Okay.
Someone on some like radio show my sister was listening to said that he thought that Avatar was the new was the Star Wars for this generation.
Well, M. Night Shyamalan said that when he was making
when he ruined all chances of that becoming true.
He was like, "This is going to be the new Star Wars." Oh my god!
Anyway. I better
and
get
then
in.
He crushed everything.
Yeah,
he's the reason that it's not that anyway, not a thing anymore.
I think we did all.
It's 95% his fault.
Yeah, that does his fault.
5% everyone else who told him that was a good idea.
What, that making
everything,
this movie?
Everything. Yeah.
Everything?
Everything
yeah.
in that movie.
I mean, he pretty much did this whole, like, well, in terms of the script, I think a thing to ask Mike and Brian would be whether they actually took a pass over the script. I think they would say no, even if they did, so.
Well, they said that the first time he did it, it was like all the stuff from the TV show was in the original first script. Not all the
they
stuff.
They were planning to be like 6 hours long, and they were like, you need to shorten this. And then he was like,
so
oh, well, okay.
Their fault.
Yeah.
I'm going to make a random plug here. There's this one web series called Foldable Human. I don't think it's actually called that. It's just, like, a guy with a puppet. He actually made a video about The Last Airbender, like, citing all, like, the writing problems and, like, how wrong, like, the cinematography kind of was. Like, you know, like, in the movie how they did these extreme close-up shots?
Oh, my God.
That wasn't good.
I just
good.
Love the scene where they're, like, we can go to the Northern Water Tribe where there's a princess there who rules it because her father, and it's like the whole time, it's like way up in his face, and then it goes over to Aang, and he's like, I can't bend water. And like, why
okay,
you can't
okay.
bend water?
Now chill.
I'm going to give you a play-by-play.
You can hear our thoughts many times on The Last Airbender. Paul and I hit an initial reaction podcast after the day after, and then
we were nice on that
recently
initial.
Did a...
Oh.
Lag.
We were nicer on the initial reaction, though.
Yeah, then we did. We did a commentary track recently, which is you can go listen to.
I was invited to be on there.
Yeah, so in general, I think the problem with the extended universe is that Nick, there's no precedent for Nick doing something like that. And Nick needs to, like, sign off on all that stuff.
This can be your cash cow.
Yeah, well, they don't really know how to operate things.
Like, you know, iCarly's over, this can be your new cash cow.
They don't need to.
Nick is ridiculous. Anyway, Ian wrote to us and said, I listen to your live podcast and I can't tell whether you guys like Amon or don't. Overall, what would you think? What do you guys think of him? Is he a good villain? Were you satisfied how he was done overall? And how does he stack up with other Avatar villains?
I think he's a great villain, personally.
Yeah.
I mean,
good villain.
My one issue with him was that I guess, like, his identity and who he wasn't introduced sooner. Like, that...
Yeah.
I guess that's what bugged me, is the fact that you had this character in a mask for 9 episodes, and you're kind of, you know, you have someone in a mask, and you're kind of daring the audience to be like, oh, who is it? Is it someone we've seen already? Like, why would they wear a mask? And yeah, it ended up just kind of... it kind of just ended up...
All the horror podcasts are speculation.
It kind of just ended up being a red herring, the whole mask thing, and kind of just there for, like, spooky, ominous effect. But, like, I'm fine with who he ended up being. I just would have liked to have seen it introduced a little earlier. Like, even if it had been a second, like, throwaway line, like, I would have accepted it a little bit more. Because I don't like when huge plot things like that... Or I wouldn't even call it a twist. I guess it's.
It was just randomly thrown.
It was just there in one episode, and suddenly it was a huge deal.
It's like a lot of shows do this. They just have a backstory episode at the end where it's like, oh, here's what's.
Yeah, don't do that.
Despite rewatching Korra yesterday, I don't really have an opinion.
Yeah, Sam, this is precious from your head.
Yeah, I completely rewatched Korra last night, and I don't. it's okay, I guess.
Mentioning Yacone for 3 seconds doesn't count either.
Yeah. So my okay.
I feel like as a character hit like singular as a singularized character, he's great, but they did not do enough development with his character. Even as like the guy in the mask, that totally could have worked, and he could have just been a Joker type, you know, archetype. You don't know anything about him, but it's the persona that is intriguing, and that's what they did for the first couple of episodes, and it really worked. Like, in The Voice in the Night, or that better be the episode title, in The Voice in the Night, he's terrifying, and that sort of fear factor works, but he's like the only real, you know, substantial villain at this point, and he can't carry with that sort of persona 12 episodes, an entire miniseries. If they had had like a secondary character, like Tarlok worked, but it wasn't enough. You know, he wasn't straight up antagonist. I don't know how to word this. He wasn't aggressive enough until the end. Like, I'm with Mel there. Sooner would have worked better.
Amon works better when we don't know who he is, I think.
So yeah, he's kind of a one-trick pony in that sense.
In general, I think Amon is probably one of the, if not the most exciting things about Korra Book 1. He definitely distracts from all the Mako nonsense.
Well, and I thought the love triangle was super exciting.
Team Bolin or Team Mako?
And anyway,
or
but Team
we're so evil.
Anyway, but so in general, Amon I thought was done very well up until the end. I don't think the explanation. I thought the explanation within the episode was handled well. I don't like the concept of what happened to him. It definitely detracted from his character. It was kind of random and not done in a satisfying way. But the flashbacks themselves were very good. And overall, I guess where I'd rank Amon below, like, Zhao and Azula.
Because
above,
Zhao
is like the number one villain. Above Longfang. I think he's better than Longfang, and I don't know how to compare him to Ozai, so. Above Sparky Boom Man, definitely.
How does he compare to Azula?
I don't think
Azula's
Sparky
a better
Boom
character.
Boom Man got the credit he deserved. I mean, he was really trying. He was.
So
you could have known he had a tragic past.
Whatever he had to beat up Azula. Yeah.
Wow, that was a lot of people.
Yeah.
The best.
No, Azula's obviously the greatest villain ever created for children's television, so it's fine.
Yep. Well, also, I mean, you can't really, it's not really fair to compare Azula to Amon, because you did have 2 seasons for her development, and much longer seasons,
and 2 full seasons.
Yeah. I mean, they're completely different characters. Azula's probably handled better, though. I mean, even if there's any debate, I think it's ended with Amon's resolution. Amon, because that detracts from him overall as a character.
Makes a stupid mask for the statue.
And like,
I just can't.
That was a real thing that happened, right?
Yes, that
okay.
was.
Yeah.
And, like, somebody had to design that.
I couldn't remember if I dreamed it, because then there was that fake spoiler as well of Aang in his face and Amon's mask, and it got really confusing.
Last point on Amon. His ending was with Tarlok, and how beautifully orchestrated it was, I don't think it overall makes a terrible amount of plot sense. Not that that matters in the long run, but looking at him as a character, it probably maybe even detracts a little bit. I think that's all we're gonna do for emails. We haven't gotten many within the past year. Thank you. You can email us at dylan@dongguzheng.net. I'd recommend tweeting
dylan@dongguzheng.net. Maybe that's why people don't send you as much email.
It's the
Dylan.
Same thing if it's... Okay, the podcast email also works. podcast@dongguzheng.net. But it also only goes to me, so why does it matter?
Maybe the rest of them want to answer emails, Dylan.
I post the emails if they mention you guys. So, yeah, which they all mention Sam, because everyone loves Sam.
They all mention me.
Everyone loves Sam.
But I actually do
like me on iTunes.
I think Tumblr asks are the better way to go, though.
Yeah.
Okay.
Send us a non-hate.
Non-anon.
Anyway, transitioning. Jeff, while I talk about something else, can you get the link for the chat?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, do I need to re-click it open? Because I've had it open this whole time.
You had it open? Oh, yeah.
You shouldn't need to re-click it open.
Anyway,
if we do, no one can take my name.
Okay. It's Felicity. Anyway. Was I going to say? Oh, everyone needs to check out the drawing tree. I realize that you don't know about this because the other podcast didn't work. The drawing tree is made for the 100th podcast. I linked to it in the podcast description. And
which one did you
link to the real one?
I'm linking to, well, I say link even though I haven't done it yet because, you know, that makes sense when people listen.
Well, yes, and when this is published in the future.
No, I'm not going to link to the other one, though.
Why?
Okay.
Why? It's the best one.
It was a joke one. It wasn't...
No, I was very, very serious about it.
If you want the Ali one, request it on the forums. And oh, yeah, also post on the DF forums, dungpingon.net/forums. And there's a thread for each podcast where you can give us feedback. But yeah, if you want the Ali one, I'll link it to you on the forums. But this one is all of us in chibi form. From left to right.
Most excellent.
Yes, it's very, very good. Huge props to Teresa.
Except the part where Allie's in the picture.
Exactly.
From left to right, Teresa, Britt, Sam, me, Ben, Jeff, Mel, Allie. So yeah, there's kind of what we look like.
We're having a fight.
Actually, a couple of us are pretty spot on, though.
Yeah, like you and Allie are very good. Yeah.
Me
like
and who?
I don't know who you're talking about.
Who's that?
I don't know.
Oh, cut it out.
No, don't cut that out. She needs
anyway.
The world needs to know.
We're having a fight.
I'm not cutting that out. But yeah, so check out that picture. It's awesome. It doesn't make that much sense in the context of this. This podcast is more of a let's go over some Korra news, but the previous one was let's celebrate the podcast.
I was so excited for the other one. We were like, it was great.
It'll get better. Okay. So
Dylan,
everyone,
you look so cute in chibi form. You should just walk all around like that all the time.
Yeah, I should totally just transform into chibi.
Yeah,
I'm a chibi. I can just turn on my chibi setting.
Put that on a resume.
Okay, everyone get in the chat room, Jeff.
I'm there.
Hey, Dylan, before we do trivia, can I mention that guy with the glasses?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, for those of you who've never heard of it, thatguywiththeglasses.com is kind of an internet entertainment website created by Doug Walker. He's probably most famous for his show, The Nostalgia Critic, which I will say right now is not for kids.
No.
Definitely not for kids. However, what I bring up is that he is currently doing a series of vlogs reviewing each episode of Avatar The Last Airbender because he's building up to a Nostalgia Critic review of the movie The Last Airbender. And his vlogs are very entertaining, so go check him out at thatguywiththeglasses.com. And search for The Last Airbender vlogs.
Yes, and yeah, he does like 10-minute videos for each episode. They're very good. I think most people probably know who the Nostalgia Critic is. Like, even though I don't watch him regularly, I'm completely aware of who he is. And yeah, even despite not liking the season one finale, I would recommend checking those out.
Okay, to be fair, he didn't say he didn't like it. He just didn't...
Which is any pretense of, or not pretense, that's not the correct, any not liking of the season one finale in any form is unacceptable.
Hey, it's everybody's entitled to their own opinion.
Yes, that being said.
Unless their opinions are wrong.
Yeah, the season finale is the greatest thing ever, so. Yeah.
How can an opinion?
You probably also warn that these vlogs do have a bit of PG-13 language as well.
Yes, yes, so children be warned.
Anyway. Why is it 13? Why can't it be like 12?
I don't know.
Like, because
no one
likes 12-year-olds.
14.
No one does like 12-year-olds. As soon as you hit 12, you're like the bane of everyone's
Everybody
existence.
Hates 12-year-olds. I forgot.
Okay, compared to his Nostalgia Critic videos, they're pretty darn tame.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah.
Pretty darn tame.
Yeah, and then there's...
Pretty darn tame. Yep.
So some people, these are a big deal. And so, yeah, check these
out. Oh, my fan turned on.
Your what turned on?
My fan.
Oh. Okay.
Better hope I don't crash.
Okay.
Don't drink know. A Dr. Pepper. Maybe it'll stop.
I have one right
yeah, anyway,
next
we're
to
in,
me.
So is this Mel's defining characteristic now?
It's drink my it hot up. Pockets.
Yes.
Oh, shut up.
Except I embrace it. I don't lie to yeah. myself.
Okay, anyway.
I haven't had the hot pockets in like over a year, dude.
Yeah, sure you have.
Do the trivia.
Anyway, trivia. What we're going to do is I'm going to verbally read the questions and everyone's going to answer in the chat room. So that way we know who actually answers first. And just going to... Okay, you made your name Danries. Okay.
No, I didn't.
No, you did.
Oh, wait, that's Britt.
Oh, that's Britt.
Britt, you sneaky person!
Who's Khaleesi? What are you...
What?
Somebody is Khaleesi, but it's not me, but
What's
I'm Daenerys.
Okay, anyway, I know
you're
it.
Sneaky person.
So what I do is I have a 25-page Word document filled with Avatar trivia questions that at some point I compile. So at DF, we used to just have Avatar trivia like every week. So I just have a ton of compiled questions. Some of these are really dumb, but I'm just going to like randomly read some off the list.
Please don't go through all 25 pages.
No, we're going to do like 10.
Oh, 25 pages.
No, I have 25 pages.
Are these just old trivia questions?
This is just old trivia questions. We've done all these in PF chat before. You're not going to remember them.
I've never done these before. I'm at a disadvantage.
I almost won trivia until someone who shall not be named stole it from me.
Yeah.
On the last Sorry. Question.
Little Miss Bonfire.
Okay, let's get started.
We should probably explain how this is working on our end.
What do you mean?
I think he did.
So we've got this chat room.
Oh, yeah, everyone's talking in a chat client Jeff made, and I'm going to verbally say it. I'm going to say it, and then you can't see the chat client, but I'm going to commentate on what's happening, which didn't, as I tried to edit the old one, I didn't commentate very well, so I'll try to do a better job this time. Okay, I just found this really dumb question. Okay, let's ask this. Sorry. Okay. Wait. No, I don't need a new line. Okay. Anyway. So this is, okay, question number one. In how many episodes does Zhao appear as an admiral?
Oh, God.
What? Okay. Wait, oh, wait. No, I got backwards. No, that was the wrong. I was thinking general.
Jeff
is. Wait, how many episodes are even in the first season?
Oh, yeah, I didn't even say I forgot to say you can only answer three times.
Jeff.
So answer something Jeff said, because one of them's right. Wait, no, Danny said. Okay, Danner has said it before Jeff. Okay.
I see.
Oh, I hate you, Brit.
That is what, Brit?
Yes.
Yes. I actually knew that one.
You actually did not know that one. No one knows.
Yes, I did. He was promoted to admiral and the Blue Spirit, and that's like the halfway episode, so there's, you know, a couple more.
Yeah, so he's apparently in fact. I can't vouch for the validity of all of these, but apparently these are correct. So.
Me
at some point said these were correct. Okay, actually, now
being
I'm.
On an Helium podcast, Dylan at one part. Point.
Now I just want to do all the obscure questions, which I will do. Okay.
Thank you.
Who said the following quote? Give up, you're completely surrounded.
I don't even know.
None of you are going to get this. It's a side character.
Oh, man. Come here, please. Oh.
That's Sandra. I know this.
No. Is it someone who wasn't even named? Because I'm going
to
get...
No, they have a name. It's just not... I don't know if they ever... They probably say the name of the show once of this guy.
Can we ask yes or no
it's
questions?
It's not Pirate Parker. That's
is
my
this,
favorite guest
yeah,
so
can
far.
Get some 20 questions
is it in season
here?
One?
It's. I think... I believe this is in season two.
Is he an earthbender?
He is. He. I don't know if he's an earthbender. I don't remember.
Like Earth Kingdom.
This happens in the Earth Kingdom.
Oh, Dylan, that's like the biggest country.
Okay, This is said by Colonel Monkey, who is the leader of. I believe he's the leader of the
Rough Rhinos.
The Rough Rhinos. Yeah, there you go. I think this is in the Avatar game, which this quote is said.
Oh, man.
Hey,
that was like...
I got it.
Did you?
What?
Jeff, I think you said that.
You spelled it right. That's evidence.
As I was saying it, yeah. Okay. Let's find more obscure questions to ask.
I hate you.
Fill in... Okay, well, no, I don't want to do quote trivia. Quote trivia is what I did when I was lazy. Who was the first character's name spoken in the series? Khaleesi is right with the
No!
Which is Mel.
I hate
that was all, that's a pretty dumb question. Okay.
Maybe if you weren't typing in caps lock constantly.
Okay, screaming. I have caps
lock. Screaming won't make you question. Answer any faster.
You guys don't have to answer this, but just please note that I, at some point, came up with the answer to this question. Name every episode Katara's bathing suit has been seen in.
Do we have to answer?
No.
Name
you don't
them?
No, no, the answer is Cave of Two Lovers, Bitter Work, Serpent's Pass, Beach, Nightmares and Daydreams, Phoenix King. Those
oh,
are...
that's
a sad
Please note that I was like 14 when we did trivia.
Pervert.
Man, that was like 6 years ago. Wow.
Yeah. Okay, well, oh, that's the next one. No, these are easy. Some of these are easy questions. Okay, oh, math time. What are the combined...
Do you know what I had to do to get into Pottermore early at like 3:30 in the morning?
What are the combined ages of Zuko and Toph?
I don't know, random guess.
Ben is right with 28.
Oh, I was
No! No!
Toph is 12, Zuko is 16.
What was that about? You know math is my kryptonite.
You had to add numbers. How challenging.
That's math!
Well, I'm an English finance guy, so
I'm an English creative writing major. How am I supposed to?
You can do simple addition.
Do you think I can? You think
okay?
I
which
beats writing?
Which episode was this quote? Was the following quote said in? Uh-oh. You're not very bright, are you?
Oh man!
Uh-oh. I don't even know who said that.
Oh God!
Jeff is right with library beating out Teresa. Yeah.
I'm shaking my fist.
Wait, who even says that? I don't know.
Juan Chitong
says that? Okay.
He said it to Sokka.
He who knows 10,000 things.
Yes. Who said the following quote? Hello, children.
Are you kidding me? I feel like someone creepy said it. What was her name?
Watch your spelling, people. Okay, Khaleesi's right with Hama. I think Jeff was trying to say
That's who I was trying to say.
Yeah.
I was like, I knew someone creepy said it.
But Mel gets that, yes.
Hold on.
Which episode was the following quote set in? Mm-hmm. I do like expensive atlases.
Oh, come on.
That's like a pretty
I know, quote. But... what is the point? You know what? I'm not even going to have the episode title.
Jeff is right with Runaway.
The episode code name thing, title things open. What do you call those? Like 3.4 or whatever? 3 or 4?
I need the full name. What animal does Sokka meet when he is trapped in the hole? The creature type, not the Fofuka disease.
Oh.
Saber-tooth moose lion cub, yes.
Dang, I was trying to think of the word.
I couldn't type that fast.
Good job.
Fofu cuddly poofs.
I think my hands just cramped.
1 point for me. This is a good question. What is the other inscription in Zuko's knife that he gives to Lee and Zuko alone? Not the real one. What's the other one?
Dumb Kingdom.
Mel gets it. It was made in Earth Kingdom.
But... I added dumb.
But she said
Earl Kingdom.
Made in Earth King.
I added dumb there at the end. If you look. Wait, pause for 1 second. I have to plug my laptop in.
Yeah, how come nobody paused when I
ask
said
question
on?
Now? Ask question now.
No. Oh, whoops. Okay.
Get a point.
Okay. I don't even think.
I need the full and correct response to this. What is the response to "Who knocks at the guarded gate"?
Oh, come on.
Oh, I don't know.
That guy.
Oh, I know this.
Oh, does it, wait, does
no
he
one
have
has
his,
any answers
does
yet.
He have a name?
No, dude, you freaking
Jeff.
Oh,
I ain't good at everything.
Apparently, it's what I have down is one who has eaten the food. But yeah, Jeff will get that. It might be he. I don't know.
It is one. It's one who has
one who has eaten the fruit and tasted its mysteries. Yes,
I knew it was something about fruit.
No, it's not.
It was that guy.
It's that guy.
That was the proper answer.
Yes. Okay. Which animal does the zookeeper in Tales of Ba Sing say likes big open prairies?
Oh.
How do you remember this, guys? This is ridiculous.
Gosh.
Mel, I've been rewatching this along with Nostalgia Critic.
Oh, yeah, I see. Yeah, Mel, even though it's one word, Mel gets... Mel,
that
well,
wasn't
even,
me.
Wait, that was Britt.
That was the name stealer.
Britt completely misspelled it, but yes, that is Rabaroo is correct.
I don't know how to spell Rabaroo.
Spelling counts in these things.
In real trivia it does, but not in podcast trivia. What cloud is in the forecast for doom and destruction in the fortune teller? Fluffy Bunny is
Fluffy Bunny, why? What was I thinking? Yes. Why would it be a skull? I don't know.
Because that actually makes sense.
Because I remember they made the skull.
Gosh, dang it.
Let's continue. Who said the following quote? I got you, Dad.
Oh, what was his name?
Lu Ten is correct. With Britt barely. No, wait, that's
that was me.
L barely beating out Teresa. Yeah.
Britt,
wait,
your name
went first.
No, not on my end.
Oh, fine.
Mel is up a 1 on Jeff. I don't know how long we're gonna go for.
I think
this is probably really. You guys can stop listening if you want. This is really boring. You being
oh, yeah, this is entertaining great. For us.
Yeah. Name the first episode of the series without Iroh. Without Iroh.
Oh wow.
I can't even remember episode titles. This is horrible.
You can do the numbers, yeah.
I don't even remember numbers.
None of you are correct.
No, he was in that episode. He's in that episode.
105 is correct. Who is Caps Lock?
That's me.
Oh, that's Sam. Sam gets one right. Okay.
Yay. What even was 105?
It was the Omashu.
Omashu.
Yeah.
Oh, that's on the board.
We should stop playing right now.
Ooh, this is
yeah, it's just getting good.
This is a one. Will you guys? I think Jeff might get this. What is the name of the volcano bordering the village seen in the fortune teller?
The big doom volcano.
Oh my gosh.
Mount.
No, it's not correct, Sam. Does anyone know it? If not,
it's
not something you can guess. So you guys just don't know it. But anyway.
Hang on.
I feel like this is a really hard one. They say it just once. So
I don't know. I feel like it's
is it Mount key. Something?
It's Mount, yes. Something.
Probably.
Mount. Okay, time's up. Mount Makapu.
Yeah, I knew there was a poo in there.
Let's have
Ben is totally looking this stuff
ben,
up.
Ben, you got it. I don't know how you got it right. Ben.
No, didn't you hear him say, hold on? He was totally Googling it.
I was trying to think.
No, he's typing it after I say it. That's what he's doing.
Yeah.
Okay, this is
no, I'm not.
Time for another really dumb question. Long Feng says the phrase, enemies of the state. How many episodes? Just guess numbers, guys. Sam is correct with 2.
Yay!
Sam!
This is an example of a bad trivia question. One which the people will never know the answer to, no matter what.
I win.
It's and me.
You know what? If she was here, we could make that joke, but she's not here.
What is the name of the fire sage that helps Aang?
Oh, God.
Oh, fire sage.
Oh, Bob. It's something lame.
This is an easy one. Maybe it's just because we've done. I've done this as a podcast. As a trivia question multiple times.
No clue.
Wow, you guys don't know this? I knew this one.
I can't.
Yeah, Ben's right with Shu. Ben is looking it up. Ben's looking it up.
I was trying to type it in Skype.
You guys need to have the lookup strategy.
How is this?
It's a valid strategy.
I was about to type it and Skype popped up.
Doesn't
I totally
that completely
looked it
defeat
up.
The purpose?
Now wait a second, Dylan. How do you know I'm looking them up?
Did you spell it right?
You got I'm the spelling kidding. Exactly right. Yeah.
Oh wow! Because you know. It's not like I can't have a good memory.
No, we always
wait, guys,
it like
math time.
It's impossible.
Math time. I'm just laying this slowly.
No.
Write it down as it goes along, okay?
No.
Write
oh, I don't have a pen and paper.
I'm not doing that.
Okay, well, the ones who are dedicated are going to get this right. That's the rest of you, I don't know. So. What is Toph's age times book chapter number of The Avatar Returns plus number of kisses Sokka had in season 2 times number of episodes Katara and Aang have kissed.
No, not doing this.
Number of times episodes Aang and Katara have kissed undisputedly in real or imaginary.
Oh my god!
Divided
numbers.
By book chapter number of the beach.
Nope.
Those are my answers for you.
Hold on. Number of kisses Sokka in season 2.
Wait, what was that last bit?
That's 1.
So divided by book chapter number of the beach. When I say that, I mean episode.
In the chat, everyone's essentially just doing key smash, except for those 2.
No, I'm.
You guys are actually answering.
I'm banging my head on the keyboard.
None of you are right, so. Some
are we close, Dylan?
One of you is a. Some of you have letters in your answer, and that's
not some of you.
Actually, it could be.
Okay,
a number.
Repeat it one more time, and I might get it.
Okay, Toph's age times book chapter number of The Avatar Returns plus number of kisses Sokka had in season 2 times number of episodes Katara and Aang have kissed undisputedly in real or imaginary. Divided by book chapter number of the beach.
Chopper.
This is ambiguous because you're not saying any parentheses.
I believe. Well, there's no. I believe this is follow the order rules. Was it, I think.
PEMDAS? Please excuse my dear Aunt Sally.
Yeah, I believe you follow those rules.
Let's go to the next one.
Right? I'm almost there.
I remember in high school when they told you you'd use algebra in real life.
I do that.
This is what they meant.
Wait, this is not.
That's my final answer.
For the record, this is going left to right. So recalculate. This is left to right, not using the order of addition. Okay, 10 seconds.
And you thought this would be boring.
That's all I'm saying. I'm just saying that's mine.
Surprisingly, you're guessing all the. You guys are all just guessing. You just haven't gotten it.
Of course, we're all guessing.
Okay, time's up. The answer is.
I spent like 10 minutes on that.
Time's up. The answer is 15.
Oh my god! I was so.
Toph's age is 12 times 2.
The Avatar, no one guessed 15.
I guess 17.
Plus, Sokka had one kiss in season 2.
Oh my god. Brit, stop it.
And Katara have kissed 3 times undisputedly.
Yes.
Divided by 5, book chapter number.
Can we do closest without going over? Because I said 13 and then
13.6. Nope, you had to get that exactly right.
I said 13.6. Yeah, but you went over.
Teresa gets 16. Khaleesi, Michelle, okay. Gets 17.
Yes.
I guess 13.6.
I don't know if you get the points. What episode did Sokka buy his Earth Kingdom bag in?
Oh, God, I don't know.
This is an easy one.
No. Hold on.
Oh. Should I give it to Sam?
Sam
said 306. She's been here longer. She tends to say 206.
I messed up.
I think I can give that to Sam. I think that's... I'm not
gonna, sorry, Teresa.
That's basically a spelling mistake, so I'm gonna...
Fine. I'm just blue.
Fill in the blanks of this quote. So this is multiple blanks. You have to say all the words in one chat. Enter. Hidden. Sorry. Yeah. Hang. Hello. I'm sorry to blank you, but I really just need to find the blank and the blank spirits. This doesn't make sense, but we play quote trivia on DF where we used to.
I said you. You said you. Did you say you? I don't know.
No. I mean, I'll give it to Mal, yeah. There's no you, but Jeff...
I thought we had to rewrite the entire quote.
No, you don't need to do that.
Oh, please, so.
It's Father Moon Ocean, yeah.
I didn't put the word...
Jeff and I both heard you in there.
Yeah, apparently, maybe I don't know. Maybe I said blank instead of... Someone disconnected.
Is it me? No, it's not me.
This is... I don't remember how that this question has an answer, but it's here. What is the name of the air nomad woman who spoke in Appa's Lost Days?
Okay.
I don't remember that being said in the episode, but I haven't read it.
It's on Avatar Wiki.
That was the Avatar.
I don't even know. Susan.
No, it's Susan. Not
wait, did I disconnect? Oh, I disconnected, so I can't see what you guys are saying.
It was Avatar Susan.
Did any of you say the right answer?
Someone said Susan.
Okay, whatever. Time's up. The answer is Ila. I-I-I-I-O. Wait, I have it I-I-O. It can't be right. It must be L-I-O. Leo.
Who knows?
I think it's just I-O.
Maybe it's I-O. I don't know. Did anyone get it right?
It's like a Greek thing. I-O. The Greek thing. That was a...
She was a Greek goddess.
It's one of the
Greek goddess. She was a...
Imp or something.
Crap, what was she?
Okay, how many sisters does Tylee have? Khaleesi is right with 6.
I paid attention to the beach.
Wait, no, I had 6 first.
No,
I had
6.
Ben, you're like 5 down.
Yeah, not on my end.
Mel has
It should
6.
Show you first on your end, but on my end it should be what's actually happening.
No, I didn't lose when we did podcast.
You're just like killing all of us.
What word does Pop use after the boulder makes the "we fight for our kingdom" comment? That's the worst phrase.
When does he say we fight for our kingdom?
Sweet is correct. From Teresa, okay. Everything.
Ooh, I was first.
I assume that's Teresa.
Yeah, that is Teresa.
Why are you doing this to me?
Oh, God.
The cookie I love voice. A creature previously seen in... Only one episode returns briefly. Oh, in Nightmares and Daydreams. What is its name? Official name. That was phrased differently.
Can you say that again?
What's the creature name in Nightmares and Daydreams? Yes, Squala Sheep is correct.
Yay.
Fluffy sheep thing.
I said sheeple.
Sheeple.
Wow, Britt, why you? Why so?
Let's do
that big moo thing.
Let's just do. Okay, well, I don't know. We're gonna start wrapping.
It would take
wrapping
two
it up.
To tie me. So why don't we do two more? We'll Aries, see. Uh-oh. Britt.
No, I don't like that one. Let's do some poetry, yeah. Character. Wait, what? Oh, speaker and location. Oh. Interesting. Where the quote is being said and who is it by? Okay. A lot of these are bad and impossible. The marks make you look sick, but you gotta act sick too. You gotta sell it. Speaker and location. Sokka Omashu is correct from Kalisha.
I forgot it's spell Omashu.
Oma and Shu.
I know,
so
Mel.
I'm trying to be helpful.
So close. Beat my head.
Speaker and location. Again. That might come back to bite us in the blubber.
I have no idea.
That might come back to bite us in the slope. You can naturally think you might say this quote.
That is my guess.
Sokka Boxing Say is correct from Jeff.
Earth Kingdom Wilderness.
I was totally guessing that location.
Yeah, I don't have any idea what episode he says this in, but apparently.
I figured Blubber gave it away to Sokka.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it happens when. Oh, I remember this now. It's when Toph makes a giant hole in the bowl.
Oh, yeah.
I couldn't think of where it was.
Let's go break some rules!
Oh my god,
okay.
Yes.
I need the episode. I know.
Number or title.
Either one. I know, I'm a terrible Soongi Hornus. Says Aang, I believe this quote. Yes, 302 is correct from Sam.
Yay!
Aw, dang it.
Barely getting it above Jeff, Teresa, Khaleesi, and Eris. Who's Eris?
I just watched that episode today.
She got angry. This is what happens when she gets angry.
She got angry.
She just drops
she
a couple
just
letters from her name.
She just turns into Aries. It's not
that pretty. Thing's on fire. In my
ooh, I like this one. Who is the line producer for Avatar?
What?
What is the name of the line producer?
Oh,
it's in the credits.
Oh,
it's very hot
oh,
there.
Oh.
No,
it's not even right.
Oh, what's the name? What's her name?
Sam's googling it right now. You can totally tell.
No. I don't know
if you guys can't get it, Ben's gonna get it because he's definitely googling it.
Actually, I've kind of given up on this, so...
Yes, it is something Asian, correct.
Something.
Oh,
no,
I'm not even trying
it's
now,
the credits
so.
Of every episode.
Is it a boy or a girl?
Flashes the credits!
I believe it's a dude. It's... Okay, you guys are all wrong.
No, wait, I can get this, I got this. No, that's Skype, wait, I got this, I have it,
wait, two seconds.
Okay,
wait,
time's up. It's Ike and Lee Wong.
Oh my god, I knew it was her. I knew it was like that.
Is that a her, dude? I don't even know.
It's a her.
Okay, it's a her. Okay.
Have you ever watched the commentaries?
I don't think. Was she on a commentary? I don't know.
No, they were talking about her once.
Okay. Question is, give me the speaker of the quote. Count me in, anything to get me out of this place. Pretty
no, that's, no. I'm
it
stupid.
Is. Jeff is correct with me.
I'm an idiot.
That was
so close.
Are you really not seeing my name before Jeff's?
I'm seeing.
No, you're
name,
you're after
Jeff's
Teresa.
Name and Teresa's name before yours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like
then how come I'm showing above Jeff's?
Because it registers on your computer first.
Oh, whatever.
Yeah.
I'm done.
Speaker of the quote: Do not come back here, or you will all be destroyed. Ooh, who says this?
Oh,
some old guy.
Yeah, it sounds like an old guy quote.
It's not as well, no.
Let me think. Do not come back here, you will all be destroyed. I don't know.
Does that count?
No, I'm not going to accept that.
Why not? That's what they call him.
Zhang Zhang is correct.
Yeah.
Teresa.
Teresa being. Oh, God darn it. Thanks for giving that one to us, Britt.
Yeah, you should know Zhang Zhang's name. Like, come on.
But, like,
no one cares
Zhang
about him.
It's like.
Oh, how about one you definitely won't get? Okay. Quote, I don't know. That's always been a mystery to me. She left without saying goodbye. And I need the name because this character barely has a name.
Like,
that's in the right direction, Britt. but that's not Taco is not correct.
She left without saying.
Do they even say her name?
They do say her name in the show. It's yes.
Always been a mystery. She left without saying.
That one.
Who else had a tragic love story? Oh wait, what was his name?
It's not Hama. It's not Kano. Oh. Sam's out of guesses. Nana is not a character.
Wait. What was his name?
Not a he, so.
It's not a he, then I was wrong.
Freaking don't give answers. I want to get one for once.
Killing me.
It was a girl?
Yes.
Okay, wait, give me a second.
I know who it is. I just don't know her name.
Yeah.
Can you say this quote again?
She left without saying goodbye.
Sam is correct.
Oh!
But that's not, you need a name. I don't know, that's always to me. She left without saying goodbye. That's close enough. It's Yagoda. So.
That's what I said, right? Isn't that
kind of? Yeah. It's basically.
I think Sam should get it.
Teresa gets it. It's Yu-Gi-Oh. It is Yu-Gi-Oh. Yeah.
Is it misspelled? What do you mean that? That's close.
There's an A apparently instead of the U.
Yagoda. Yeah.
Oh,
her name is mentioned though. They mention
her cards.
They do mention her once.
Yeah, by name. I couldn't think of her name.
Speaker and location.
How long is this going on for?
I know, I don't want to do those. Okay.
I have like 9 minutes of battery power left.
Okay, two more. All right. What is Pian Dao's butler's name?
Some guy. I don't know.
Maybe.
Teresa's right with Fat. Oh, wow.
Are you kidding me, Teresa?
We have a tie at the top.
I'm coming for you, Mel.
Teresa, no. It comes down to one question.
I'm going to lose. Don't worry.
Assuming one of you answer this correctly.
Yeah, we'll see.
What if I answer
it? Sam!
We'll keep going. I need to find a good
waiting.
One.
What if Brit answers?
Then, you know, you all are allowed to answer.
Oh, cool.
Okay.
We'll just do a tiebreaker again.
Yeah, we'll just do a tiebreaker. Who does the voice for Ming, the prison guard?
It's one of them. I know that.
This is, so let me give you the chronology of the chat. Mel wrote Venus Williams.
It's Serena, obviously.
It is Serena. Sam said Serena, and Teresa said Serena Williams. The answer is Serena Williams.
I think Sam should get it.
Yeah. Well,
nobody wins.
Yeah, let's give it to Sam so we can do it.
Sam knew she was talking about more than I did.
Yeah, it is Serena Williams, but yes. I feel like some people don't know that. Serena Williams did a voice in...
No, sure.
It was a Williams.
Yeah. It was such a close character. Baker.
Only Teresa and Mel can answer.
Oh, God.
Oh, I don't like
it. No.
I want nobody to win.
Why not?
I don't like competition.
What? Okay. What is Toph's mother's first name?
Oh, come on.
Oh, I know.
Obviously, she knows.
I don't see anything yet written.
I posted a thing. I sent it.
Oh, nope. Yep, Teresa got it. Poppy. Yes. Poppy is correct.
You know what I keep doing? I keep trying to go to the Skype and type it in Skype. And that is wrong.
Yeah, sure. That's excuses.
No, I'm not kidding. I've done it 3 times.
In first place, Teresa with 8. In second place, Mel with 7. And then tied for third, Jeff and Sam with 5. And then Britt and Ben have 2 points. So I think everyone got 2 points.
Sam and I just keep tying.
Yeah. Spoilers. Jeez.
Yeah, can we mention Sam won last time?
You didn't tie with Sam.
Oh, wait,
no one's actually going to listen to that thing.
No one will.
But we should still say that Sam won the other
Sam won the other trivia.
Oh, well, there's...
Was I not supposed to say that? I'm sorry.
Well, now you'll be spoiled. First of all, no one's listening right now. Second of all, no one's going to listen. No one's going to listen.
I'll listen. I'll listen to it.
I like how we just did trivia for like an hour on a podcast that important people might listen to. Anyway, that's all for this week's podcast. I've been your main host, Dylan.
It's over.
What's up, Ben? Teresa, Sam.
All good things must end.
Britt, Jeff, and Ben.
Oh, I want to say real quick that I think Mike DiMartino looks like my brother. Okay.
Oh. Okay.
He does.
I haven't seen your brother, so I don't know.
Take your word for it.
Anyway, Jake owns Dong Fang, technical directors AJ Kevin, whose remix is by Luke Tripp. Yay, hooray. Thanks guys for being on. Yay, happy 100th podcast.
We're going to end
on
Allie
sucks.
No, we're not. No. Let's do it. Nobody knows.
Like, we miss you, Allie, or something. No. Like,
How about hi, Mike and Brian, if you're listening, which they are.
They're not, but anyway.
I would have listened to this.
Anyway, just end on whatever you want.
Quack. What is that noise?
Quack, yes, quack would be great.
1, 2, 3, bye.
Oh, what is that noise? Allie, I hate you.
Which is pretty cool. But yeah.
Oh.
Is there a duck stuck in your...
Yeah, someone's been having audio troubles all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever, okay. Cool. But yeah, I'd say... This...
What are you laughing at?
That shouldn't be as funny as it is.
Yeah, that should. Okay. Yeah, I finished reading. It's not going to make sense. I'm going to edit that out so it's not going to make sense why you're laughing.
I said, like,
well, just say.
I'm editing it out anyways. Just tell me.
No, it doesn't make sense anyway. Shush, okay.
Quack.